Hi, I'm Justin.
I'm Josh.
I'm Austin.
Hey guys, have you seen Uncut Gems?
No.
I forgot when we were supposed to pause.
Don't worry. I'll leave it in the edit.
We're at the good Sandler movie.
This is a big Sandler movie.
Here.
I don't know if I'm going to say good because I haven't seen it.
The only good one.
The only good one.
The only good one.
So there's a lot to live up to.
Ooh, you've put a lot on this movie.
You have.
What do you think it's about, Josh?
I think the zeitgeist has put a lot on this movie.
Sure.
Well, that's what we do.
We just imagine, podcast, right? I just imagine you, like, watching, like, slogging through all of these Sandler movies, just being like, I just gotta get through these to get to Uncut Gems.
It'll save me. It'll redeem the rest as you're crawling up this hill.
I think it's too much at this point. Like, I don't think this movie can redeem everything we've been through.
So you know what we do. But for the listener, what we do here on the podcast is the people who haven't seen it, in this case, me and Josh, give a brief description of what we think the movie's going to be about based solely on the title. Just Josh, I believe you probably know less than me at this point.
I haven't seen any trailers or anything. I know that Sandler is in a serious role in this movie.
Okay.
It's probably an ensemble cast.
Do you think it's the Sandlot?
I think some of the Sandlot may be here, but I think this is one of those ones like Wedding Singer where he didn't direct it.
Okay. A lot of the Sandlot started in Wedding Singer with him.
Right.
Like, big roles.
Sure. I don't think it's just going to be the Sandlot.
Okay.
But
okay. What's the main crux? Why is it called Uncut Gems?
I think they're going to be like jewel thieves.
It's like, it's not Drowning in Potential? Like,
no.
He's the Uncut Gem?
No.
You remember Drowning in Potential, your previous movie?
Yes,
gobbity goobity, we got to bust into the vault here. And
he's
diamonds.
Oh, he's a gem thief.
Yeah, I think
but it's a serious one.
I think it's a serious, like, gem thief movie. They have a whole crew, and Sandler is one crew. He's probably the smooth talker.
How hard did he push to call it Ocean 69?
I haven't seen Ocean's 11 or 12.
Doesn't matter.
You knew enough to get the reference.
I did.
Movies. We'll probably do at least the first one.
Only one of them's good, right? Or are they both good?
Well, it's originally a Rat Pack movie from the 50s.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the remakes. Oh. So it'd be fun to do a couple of them, and, like, I've never seen the original, I've only seen the remakes. Have you?
I haven't seen the originals either.
It's like a Dean Martin, Frank Sinatra.
Remakes plural?
Huh?
There's two remakes?
Well, there's a series
there's
of remakes.
There's a series.
There's Ocean's 11, 12, 13, 10, because there's a prequel.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, there's more than that.
I think that's it.
That might be it?
That's five.
They seem to do well because they're like heist movies.
Yeah,
and
people
they
like
really,
heist movies.
Well, they're just like the 50s ones. They have the most charismatic people alive in them, like Brad Pitt and George Clooney and, I mean, tons of actors. Talk about an ensemble movie.
Sure.
So what do you think is, where's this one going to take place? What kind of heist?
Vegas, probably.
Spoilers, that's where Ocean's 11 takes place.
Okay. I think it's called Uncut Gems because they're the Uncut Gems.
The crew
is like maybe not professional jewel thieves, and they become that maybe one of the professional jewel thief, and he has to like
train these pet gems
because they have so much potential.
I don't think any gems crew calls themselves.
That's what
any.
The paper calls.
Yeah,
them.
The paper. Calls them.
Yeah. The news, Justin. Duh. Is this a period piece or is this going to be?
No.
Well, so
you know he was going to ask.
What would it matter if it's a period piece? They're stealing just, I guess, level of security?
Yeah, tech.
Okay.
You gotta have, after a certain point, you have to have a guy in a van after there's cameras everywhere.
It's gonna be modern.
Okay, so he's the comic relief, you say.
The smooth talker.
No, he's a smooth talker.
Oh.
I don't think any of them are comic relief.
Oh, it's dry.
Yeah, it's serious.
Okay, why is he doing this? Is his grandma gonna die?
They all have their reasons.
It's like a
right?
Sandler plot.
Yeah.
It's my grandma's going into the nursery home. Don't say nursery. Take 43. Yeah. Clack.
We have a consistent thing from our bank that the more X's the bank card gets, the worse them is.
Oh yeah.
The inverse is also true. The less X's a Sandler bank has, the better the movie has been.
I would say that's like a rain over me.
Mm. Yeah.
Like
I think rain. He did not have very many X's.
Not very many X's.
And I think this one won't either.
More serious ones. So no Sandler bingos on Uncut Gems?
I think this might be the first Sandler
Funny Animals.
Where we don't get a bingo.
We're kind of recapping because it's been a while since we've done some of these like Sandler movies. Is he rich already? A jewel thief who's rich.
Everybody loves Sandler.
He might become rich. Yeah, everybody. Sandler might get. We might get
funny animals. Like they train a rat to go
fat
through the
joke.
Ventilation system with a camera on it or something.
I don't know if we'll get a fat joke. This movie's too serious for.
There
jokes.
Could be a fat guard or something, or like a wealthy dowageress with like a big jeweled necklace. They have to. One heist or mini heists throughout the movie.
They're gonna have to have some training heists, I think.
Right, because you said they're a crew of rookies.
Yeah, that's why they're uncut.
And Dominic Toretto. I mean,
so we're gonna get like a montage of jewelry thieves.
And
maybe
blunders.
They each get tested. Maybe
yeah.
He goes to each of them and like tests them or something, like watches them. And
you go to De Beers. Like, you go to Zales. You go to the mall, and like each of you come back with 3 diamonds.
Well, they got different roles, right? There's gonna be like a wheel man, and there's gotta be like a smooth talker.
Okay,
they're not all gonna be stealing gems.
My theory, uncut gems. Are worth less than normal gems.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the ones they're targeting because they're not
easier
as tracked as well.
Okay.
Yeah. So they're like
you
a
don't think they're gonna
level.
They're not going to mine the gems?
No.
But
no,
you
no.
also think this is a heist movie?
I know what it is a little bit
okay.
just from the cultural zeitgeist.
Okay. Okay.
I don't know too much. I know that Adam Sandler, just like in Punch Drunk Love, has some very depressing problems.
Mm-hmm.
And this movie shows us the consequences of those problems. Justin, have you seen this?
Yes.
Okay. I have to ask now, because you cheated.
On the movie you forced on my list.
Excuse me? It was in theaters. It
was.
Felt... It fit every criteria we established for the list.
But... You still found it, and I argue that that does not mean I have to watch it twice.
You didn't watch it twice.
I know.
Yeah.
You we do have another
argument, is that I didn't have to
no
watch it
twice. Watched. We have one more coming up that nobody's watched.
Yeah.
Spaceman.
Wait, no, Hotel Transylvania 4 isn't.
He's not in
that.
He's not in it.
I forgot.
We got the next
Spaceman.
The next two Sandler movies I have not
the
seen.
The last two Sandler movies.
He's breaking all... He's like... He's got senioritis over here. He's
Spaceman
reaching
Spaceman and what? Or Lizard Man?
Happy Gilmore.
Too. Lizard Man? He just starts making man movies.
Animated movie.
Leo is a Netflix movie.
Okay.
Okay.
Happy Gilmore 2 is out?
Happy Gilmore 2 is out.
Got a limited
It's also
run.
A Netflix movie, but it was grandfathered in.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we should
like watch Spaceman.
Like Spaceman.
A streaming movie.
We all agreed to watch these last two. We could end on a high note, but we're not.
We've got Adam Stockholm Syndrome from being on this list for... What? 7 goddamn years at this point?
At least 4. It's been too long.
It's been way too long, but the thing is,
he's
not going to stop making
movies.
He's
not going to stop making
movies. And he's not going to stop putting them on his list.
Well,
he's not even watching them at this point.
I just got to wait till 3 of them come out at a time.
They could be really bad. He's not even screening them for us.
Now that we're coming down from Sandler.
They could be really bad. Thanks for catching that.
Like, I dread what's next, though. Justin spent like 4 years of his life torturing us.
Oh,
he's had time.
He has
to come up with another list.
He has had time, so I hope he comes up with a good original list that nobody else has ever done before. We'll see what he picks next.
I already said what I want to pick next.
What is it?
Stalked by my doctor.
Yeah.
Not
the Netflix Sandlers. You gonna give us some false hope before we go there?
We could slip them in every once in a while.
Like a roofie?
Yeah, like visiting your ex and just like, Sandler's there for you.
Here's, surprise, Sandler. We're not even gonna roll, we're just gonna like show up and see if you
He's gonna have a handful of confetti and just be like, surprise,
yeah.
Sandler in your face. That's toxic, you'll wanna wash
He's
it off right away.
He's got little pictures of his face on the little...
You know those glasses you can get at, like, holiday amusements and things, and they make the LED lights look like things? It's really trippy. Like little Santas or stars. You need to have one made where it turns them all into little Sandlers.
Sure.
Yeah, that would be
I wonder how expensive that is.
For one pair of holographic glasses, under $100. And well worth it.
It feels like something that if they were going to make, they'd want to make a bunch of them.
You could...
Yeah, you'd get stuck with a case.
You could convince Sandler to make these. Maybe when,
You know what I mean?
It's Eight Crazy Nights 2 comes out.
What, making one t-shirt is like...
It's $60.
Yeah, but that's kind of a waste, isn't it?
No, it depends. No. I mean, you're not...
Isn't it just as easy to make a bunch of t-shirts?
You're still going through all the t-shirts. And if you can make t-shirts, you have the means to make them. I mean, no, I don't think you're wasting anything. Go ahead and get that novelty t-shirt. Our generation has made enough clothes for the next 6 generations through fast fashion.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So where does all that clothes end up?
Mostly Africa in giant trash piles. So don't feel guilty about that one shirt you ordered. It's corporations that are doing this.
Yeah.
on that note, I hope that this movie isn't that depressing. Isn't We're going to jump into it and we're going to watch... Justin, what year did this come out?
If it's depressing, at least it's good.
Yeah, what year is this?
Is it a documentary? Did Adam Sandler go to the diamond mines and like...
I would love to see a Sandler documentary.
It's like that scene in Zoolander.
This came out 2021 or 2020.
Have you seen Zoolander?
No.
When he goes to the mines?
The mines, yeah.
You've seen the memes. Yeah. I feel like we need to watch that movie. I hated it.
It's not very good.
When it first came out. Yeah. And I don't think
memes.
I'll like it. But
I just
it's got
remember
memes.
The gasoline fight.
See, I don't want to revisit it.
Yeah.
But I think we might have to for like a classics list of the early 2000s.
Movies that start with Z.
It's definitely a boner comedy.
Have we already done Step Brothers and I blocked it out?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Not hard enough, apparently.
We haven't done Hot Rod, though, which is my favorite of the two.
I was just going to say we could do, like, comedy movie classics that I would absolutely dread watching.
Oh, yeah.
Like that. We already did Step Brothers, but, like, Napoleon Dynamite.
Oh, I hate Napoleon
Dynamite.
I've
done Napoleon Dynamite, though.
I would dread watching
our
that.
Only
That's,
fan Nick for that.
That is a good list. Like, classic movies none of us want to
watch.
Why are these so despised?
We have lists of movies that we don't want to watch.
Yeah. I mean, eventually we'll get to that.
Hate lists.
That would be like a Patreon list. A hate list, yeah. Because we'd find some winners. We'd find some gems. And we're going to find some tonight here on Have You Seen? And we're back, having just seen Uncut Gems.
Oh, yeah.
There's only one gem.
This is how we win, fellas.
This was the perfect metaphor. Josh, you nailed it. When those three goons are locked in a box having to watch Sandler, I was like, wow, that's been us the last 17 years or whatever this has been.
You guys remember when we started with things like Bulletproof?
And going overboard?
Going overboard.
No, I don't, because I block most of those out.
I try not to remember them.
I grew up with those, though. Those were classics, like Happy Gilmore and Billy Madison, Waterboy.
I don't know that Going Overboard would be a classic.
Wedding Singer. No, I'm talking about, like, the Golden Age.
Sure.
I had a lot of those on VHS. Yeah. After his, like, SNL run. And Bulletproof was R-rated. Mm-hmm. This one's also R-rated.
It is.
Whew. Could have earned that R a little more.
Yeah. It was like an anxiety fever dream.
Ooh, this movie was...
Yeah.
This is a movie that made me feel tired after watching it.
Okay.
Every scene, everyone is just tense as possible.
You know what's going to happen,
even though nothing's happening. A lot of scenes, like lots of really intense phone calls.
This is like a political thriller without the politics. It's just like a diamond. Not even a heist. We didn't get a heist in this.
No crew.
No, well,
just Sandler.
Just Sandler. And screwing over everyone in his life.
Whew, yeah.
Himself included.
Mm-hmm.
This is the tale of a addict. He's a gambling addict. Through and through.
100%.
I was kind of surprised that he didn't dip into, like you said, Josh, like, drugs. He seems like he would really like
cocaine.
He just
likes money.
Because he never sleeps.
Is this a cocaine without cocaine movie?
It is. Right? We did all our weed without weed movies. This is 100%. Right? Because he has an apartment in the city, an apartment in the suburbs. He never sleeps. He's driving between the two or at work or running from goons. Like, we never...
There's so many goons. It's the Batman movie. Any goons.
He has more goons after him than he has friends and family. I was convinced that the old, short, gray-haired goons were going to be the ones to plug him in the end. Mm-hmm. I thought they were going to be his demise.
I wasn't sure if he was going to die. I was hoping for a while there.
Yeah.
He might make it out.
If he wouldn't have died...
So by the end of this movie, you were pulling for him?
Yeah.
Yeah. But he wouldn't have learned anything if
he would have gotten right back in. Yeah.
Because we saw that.
That's what I expected.
There was that moment in it where... Okay, so this whole movie is about Adam Sandler, who's a jewelry and gem dealer.
Mm-hmm.
And he has this secret plot. He's found YouTube conspiracy videos of black African Jewish miners who have these secret rare black opals that aren't like the red ones that aren't worth anything. And he, like, through skirting customs and a lot of laws...
Smuggles it through a fish.
Smuggles them in. Yeah, through some fish.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this giant uncut gem. You look into it, it's got a bunch of colors, it's like a rock with all these opals in it, but it's one giant opal, really. He has self-appraised it at over $1 million.
Yeah.
Because he's a Jew, right? He probably
he's
knows
a seller.
Appraisal.
I think the old guy working for him is the
well,
actual
like,
jeweler.
Was he delusional at this point?
Yes.
Or was it actually me?
No, he's obviously delusional because...
I think he's delusional.
Yeah.
Because remember, it gets actually appraised, it's worth like...
A tenth of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, 1 to 2,000, 100,000.
He's such a smooth talker. He thinks he can.
And he is.
Get out
he
of
is.
Everything.
He's definitely.
Yeah.
This is definitely a character who's maxed out charisma. For
I
all
think
you
this is how a Sandler really is, though.
He's
like
he's just so manic.
No. The charisma part.
Oh,
we've talked about this before. How if you were to see him in person, he could get you to do anything, which is proved by these 27,000 movies we've watched, where people are just demeaning themselves. This might be in Sandler Bingo.
I think we might have a bingo.
We might have a bingo.
There was
check the bingo
a
card.
Third act. Ha, look at that fat guy. He's watching the ball game and my jaw hit the floor.
This is a Sandler movie.
There was a secret sub. No Sandlot.
No Sandlot.
No
Sandlot. A single Sandlot.
I hope all these goons become Sandlot from now on, though. Like, he adopts these goons.
We see the goon in Happy Gilmore, the goon that shot him in the head.
The one I kept thinking was Eric Roberts.
Yeah.
Like, buff tattooed Eric Roberts.
We got an unexpected celebrity,
buff tattooed 10 years ago Eric Roberts.
Sure, not, like, super mega Eric Roberts. Yeah, we got a surprise celebrity guest, another bingo.
The Weeknd
shows up, and not only shows up...
He gets to do a fist
He shows
fight.
Up.
He performs an entire song. Molests? Has a sexy drug deal with Sandler's mistress.
Yeah.
And gets
and
in a fist
Sandler
fight.
And then Sandler beats him up.
We get a fist fight.
Yep.
Sandler goes full Sandler really early on in this.
You think that was part of the deal? Like, you can be in my movie, but I get to be...
You can't restrain me? Like, how much was improv, do you think?
I don't know,
that's a
man.
Good question.
Because he has that energy going for him.
I bet a lot of it was improv.
I don't have any doubt that he's a good actor and got
most
into
scenes,
this character.
Most scenes were just, I'm like, come on, I can get you the money, you know me.
Which he's probably heard from people in his life a million times, because he's been rich since he was, like, in his 20s.
Right.
Uh, he Yeah, this was almost a flip, though, because no one likes Sandler in this.
No, we don't get to check that.
But everybody kind of still likes him. Like, his girlfriend loves him.
His wife hasn't left him yet.
Not yet. His kids kind of still look up to him. Like, his son is like, hey,
one of
you
his
like...
sons do.
Well, yeah. He's like, you... I made a bet with a kid in the library today, and I just doubled it. Double or nothing. Aren't you proud of me, Dad?
Yeah, I made $25.
How much do you have on this game? How much? And you're like, holy shit, don't look up to this guy. But it's his dad. His daughter couldn't care less. Him and the wife keep giving each other these knowing looks.
We see
looks.
Her in a play.
We kind of see her in a play for like 5 minutes at
it's
most.
About much, yeah, because we're following him, and that's about how much
like
he was
the,
there.
To be fair, I like the special effects.
Yeah, where she was vomiting the coins.
Yeah, she gets like blessed by these trolls. They're like, we'll give her a blessing when she speaks. Coins come from her mouth.
I thought this was going to go supernatural, like real quick.
This movie?
Yeah, I thought the gem was going to be cursed.
Well, to talk about it, the opening scene, which is actually filmed in Africa.
Oops.
Yep. You saw the film crew unit, yeah. And it's like, wow, I wonder if they had more and it got cut. Or if A24 was like, we're just going to be super authentic. But we saw them dig up this opal. And they're gathered around like it's the beginning of an Indiana Jones movie. Mm-hmm. Just like,
like they discovered an ancient
civilization. Everybody's like angry and yelling because the dude got injured.
Yeah, one of the guys who was mining it.
He's broken his leg and you can see the bone sticking out. It's all gnarly.
Compound fracture. Something big fell on it, looks like. Or ran into him. Horrible mining conditions. And maybe that's subtly what this is about. Maybe it is a curse movie.
You think it's true?
I don't
he's
know.
Cursed.
It was kind of good luck, though, to the basketball player.
Well, maybe it is. Maybe it's a charm, the opposite of a curse.
Yeah.
Maybe it is subtly supernatural. Sandler gets this. He shows it to KG, a famous.
He already owes like 4 people at this point.
Basketball. Oh, he
like 20 minutes in.
When this movie starts,
yeah.
When this movie starts, we are firmly entrenched in Sandler's life, and he is an unstable gambler to the point where in his jewelry shop it's like bulletproof encased glass cage, and then he has his office, and then he has like a safe in his office and a bulletproof cage in there mm-hmm. for the jeweler to work on, and he takes people's things like their watches, their jewels, and holds them in a safe place, like for storage, I guess, because it's safer than at your house. He's been taking all those things, immediately pawning them and making bets off of them.
Ooh.
Which is kind of what the banking system
does. I love these two
does,
pawn shop guys that he goes to a couple times.
They're really good characters. And they seem to like legitimately be like, what are you doing? We sell diamonds for a living and you're throwing your life away. We sell the most precious quote-unquote mineral on earth. And you have no money?
His fucking diamond Furby.
The 3 diamond Furbies. Yeah.
That, he invented it or something.
That he's had since 2002? When were Furbies?
I don't know, yeah.
It was like early aughts.
Yeah.
So these have just been sitting there and he dusts them every night. But you think, did he have a display and some have sold? Because they were like, he's the first guy to bring this to rap.
He sold one.
He was like... Yeah, and I couldn't tell whether they're talking about the Furbies or, like, big encrusted toys on your neck in general, like with diamonds. Because at one point, he sells a crucifix that is hideous.
I think this, and I think later on, a dude's like, hey, you got that Michael Jackson crucifix?
That's what it was!
And he's like, I want to buy it back because I'm going to sell it to the Weeknd.
And he's like, no, it's in my safe at work. And you're like, oh, he's just flipping things all the time to make bets. And it's not only professional, like, sports gambling. He's living off the thrill of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, every moment is like, ooh, I could win or lose. And that's kind of how this movie goes. You're at, like, really terrifying lows, and then you're, like, super high with him.
Yeah.
When you're, like... Ah, we won.
He literally experiences, like, euphoria whenever he...
Yeah, we see him win a couple
times.
Whenever
he wins.
It's the greatest thing in his life. It's the only time, I don't know if you noticed this, he says, I love you to someone.
Mm-hmm.
Is in the thrill of the moment when winning. Because people throughout this whole movie are, like, telling him they love him, and he's just like, yeah, 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 bye. Like, I gotta drive back to the city. He gets home, kisses his son goodnight, hangs out with his other son for 5 minutes, and is like, all right, I gotta go back into the city. And it's like, he just drove an hour to do that for 10 minutes, and now he's driving. People live like this?
I guess so.
Sure.
My dad lived like this. He was on the road 5 days a week.
This doesn't seem like any kind of life to me.
No.
Regardless of how much money you eventually make, I'm just
You make it? Yeah. Because he could be making money. That's what I'm saying. The other pawn shop owners, they're like, look at us. We're sitting pretty.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we have customers in and out. We don't have bulletproof doors, you notice? I mean, we keep them open during the day. You don't have to come through a dingy hallway and, like, be buzzed in. I want to add one of these double protection buzzers to our house.
They have it at the cat cafes. The cat store.
I've seen them at zoos, too, where there's, like, butterfly terrariums. It always feels like you're going out of a space shuttle airlock to me. Like, you have to close one door before another opens. It also seems like a fire hazard when you're Adam Sandler's office, because this is one way in, one way out.
And it probably has controls if the fire alarm goes off.
I don't think so.
Probably unlocks.
What's the name of the guy who works for him that brings in the basketball player?
These characters have names.
Is it like Demancy or?
Oh, okay. So he's selling fake Rolexes.
Yeah.
But he's bought from the Rolex dealer the real boxes. Did you catch this?
Yeah.
And that's how he's slinging them.
Oh, that's why he said the boxes are expensive.
Yeah, because he's paying Rolex dealers to ditch the boxes and the paperwork inside so he can sell his fake Rolexes. And that's why the old tiny Grey Goons are after him, because he sold Rolexes that were fake to him.
They didn't try very hard, though.
No.
Just kind of took a watch.
I thought it was a missed opportunity that they didn't kill him. The basketball player's there. He's looking at all this stuff. It's real fun. He shows him the black opal.
For some reason.
He's just showing off.
He's just excited.
Yeah. Which should be okay.
Yeah.
Right? To show in your store, look what came in. Mm-hmm. I'm putting it up for auction next week. This guy's offended. He's like, why would you show me? This is probably somebody who's never been told no in his life.
Oh, not used to being told no ever.
The basketball player.
Yeah.
Because he's like, why would you show me something I can't buy? Tall is power, and tall is money, and money is power. Power times two. But, he's like, why would you show me this if I can't buy it right now? And I would have just been like, come to the auction Monday. Like, but he's like,
he says it after, like, not during.
I know. While it's in this dude's hands. And he's like, can I borrow it? And I had flashbacks to, like, elementary school when I'd bring, like, a cool toy into school. Like a new Batman toy the week after Christmas or something. And the one kid in the class would be like, that's so cool. Can I borrow it? And time slows down and you never see it again.
Yeah. And why you didn't say no is why he didn't say no.
Because this kid was like 7 feet taller than me and a professional basketball player.
Well, he already gave it like, to him.
And his entire crew was there.
Entire crew was
exactly.
In the store already.
I couldn't just shove him over and be like, shut up, kid, and take my Batman back and walk away.
He does bring it back.
He gives him collateral.
After, okay, wait.
Yeah, the ring.
Let's not say he brings it back. It takes days.
Yeah.
It
takes him a bit.
He says tomorrow morning, 9 a.m.
He didn't have to bring it back. He
gives him the ring for collateral, and what's Sandler do?
Hawks it.
Hawks this ring immediately to make another bet.
Which he wins.
But he doesn't.
He doesn't.
Oh, because it gets
because
sold.
We find out by his bookies.
Can you do that?
Is his uncle.
Yeah.
Can someone else just show up and be like, stop
that
guy's bet?
Well, I don't think it is
bet.
His uncle. I think it's a guy who married into the family.
It's essentially, like, family, though. Which we were joking about, because this is, what, a Coppola movie?
Scorsese?
It's like The Godfather?
The executive producer of Scorsese.
And you can tell some of these scenes with the family at the dinner table. It's super dark around them, and they're...
Yeah, whenever it, like, panned the table, and then you saw... I was like, oh man, it's the guy. It's been a while since I've seen this.
Yeah.
I was like, oh man, it's the guy from the limo. I was like, it's his uncle. It's like his uncle or something was like, who's after him this whole time?
Yeah, he's actually at the family dinner table. And that's why I think Sandler's a little loosey-goosey with the money. He's like, this is my family. He's not going to do anything.
He didn't.
Every once in a while, he's going to, like, elbow me in the neck or in the nose. And that's not even him. That's a killer Eric Roberts. Yeah. Oh, man. These were some good 80s goons.
They were. I really like the tiny goons that came after him. I do think that it would have been funny if they were the ones that killed him.
Hey, these are fake Rolexes. Blam, 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 blam. Just in some alley, and then they walk away and no one ever catches them. That's how I thought it was going to end, and that would have been, mwah, gold star. So...
He kind of jigsaws them, right?
Well, he goes all the way to Philly to the training camp to get his Opal back.
Sorry.
And his friend, no, I'm not saying his friend, his contact, who had just got back from Philly, drives him all the way there, gets him into the training center, goes to where the locker room is, and knows that the security is going to stop him and send him home. And he's, wow, that would suck. Every moment of this, you're just like, ooh,
he mentions that. He mentions that later. He's like, you thought that bus ride home was funny? It was disgusting.
Yeah. When we didn't know it was his family member, he picks him up, drives him around the block, strips him naked, and puts him in the back of his own car at his daughter's play. So his wife has to come out and unlock the trunk for him to crawl out and put...
They were going to let him finish the play, though. He got them out.
I know. He's like, they're like, you really want to do this right now? And he's like, why not? It's almost intermission.
He's like, I'd rather deal with this than watch any more of this play.
I like how he turns from the character to Adam Sandler. With the new clothes. Yeah. They're just oversized sports jerseys and stuff. Which he probably would have.
There's a moment where he comes into the sporting facility and he like takes the basketball out of the guy's hand and he's like, oh, heads up. And he knocks the basketball out of the guy's hand and goes and shoots it and it's like the professional court. I'm like, that was just him
breaking. The real Sandler came out. Yeah. He's done so many sports movies at this point. The Waterboy, The Longest Yard, Happy Gilmore.
Happy Gilmore, I think.
Happy Gilmore 2. Yeah. We don't know if it's about golf yet.
You're right.
Yeah, he's always played basketball in one of the more recent ones. Yeah. I don't remember.
Grown Ups. They played basketball in Grown Ups.
Sure.
They did play basketball in Grown Ups, but I wouldn't say that that's like a sports
movie. No, I'm just saying there's always a little bit of sports in these movies, and this is where he had to take the ball and shoot.
I think there's one where he like coaches a basketball team or something, and it's a Netflix movie.
Oh, well, I don't need to watch those.
Yeah. I wonder if the basketball thing was unscripted.
The last 10 years or so, like, I'll edit those ones and put them out and be like, the fuck happened in this movie? I know Jennifer Aniston's in it, and him and another family are doing something and pretending they're the same family, but that's like 4 or 5 goddamn movies we've watched at this point.
Yeah.
So this one, at least, was unique. His family hates him. His coworkers seem to like him, except for the guy who got his shirt torn.
He keeps him employed.
He comes back. Yeah, they're making good money. Yeah. You're right.
I think they make good money, yeah.
Hey, how come our boss is so poor and he pays us so much? He's always asking me for a loan. If your boss came to you and was, can I borrow $200 from this week's paycheck of yours?
I'll get it back to you with 10% interest.
I swear, the Lakers just have to beat the spread.
I'll do 12% interest.
I've got a killer parlay, whatever that is. Wow, this is kind of a time piece. All the
betting terms.
This is kind of a period piece.
It is. It took place in 2012.
Because he has a bookie.
Mm-hmm.
He has physical bookies. And this was illegal in a lot of states. Nowadays, everything is gambleable because of your phone. Many apps.
Everything has been gamified or gamblified.
Like, there's even commercials for gambling that are like horrible AI videos, and they're like, do you wish you could have bet how long it took Jesus to die on the cross? They're like, that's a little hyperbole, but not much. It's like, who would have won the Battle of Thermopylae? Don't you wish you could have bet on it? And it's like, no! And it shows people in, like, a coliseum betting on their phones on, like, Roman gladiator matches. And I'm like, That's fucking dystopian.
We saw one that was for like an AI puppy.
Oh, the puppy ones are crazy.
How do you bet on puppies?
Holy
it's sports gambling.
Oh, okay.
But all the advertisements are AI dogs. And they're terrifying. They're like at football fields, but nothing looks real. They're like a fever dream. This movie looked pretty good.
Yeah.
This movie looks so good that it inspired Josh.
Part of Inside Out 2. The anxiety is
yes.
Which we have not seen yet.
Who directed this, Justin? This is an A24 film, which we told Josh at the beginning.
They do horror.
Yeah, they usually...
I was expecting some horror.
They got big in horror, but they also do a lot of thrillers. Is this the first movie you can think of that's A24 that you've seen?
That we've done on the podcast, for sure. I don't think... Seen an A24 film?
Did you see...
Let me check.
The Green Knight?
Oh, yeah, I did.
What'd you think about that?
I didn't like it. I thought it was really boring.
Oh, I really liked it.
I thought it looked good.
Yeah, and sounded good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was okay with that kind of really sleeper medieval fantasy.
Oh, Everything Everywhere All at Once is A24.
Okay, you saw that?
I've seen that.
All right.
That was good.
That was really good, yeah. Does it say who directed this on there?
Yeah. Directed by Josh Safdie and Benny Safdie.
Ooh.
I think this was their last movie.
A sibling team.
Yeah.
Also, there was, like we said, the guy who did The Godfather was involved. Yeah, so Everything Everywhere at Once, we didn't do for the podcast.
We all saw it.
We just all saw it in the theater together.
Yeah.
And we're like, oh, we're making
this. We didn't do a review of it?
I don't think so, Justin. We never did a review of Everything Everywhere All at Once. No, that was just like a personal watch. Okay. Yeah, it looks great. It's filmed in, I would say, an anxiety-inducing way. There's a lot of really...
Yeah.
Harsh angles and
yeah.
close-ups. One of my favorite scenes in this is after they go out to dinner and they're going home. And he's like, I just got to stop by the apartment real quick. And his wife is sitting in the passenger seat and is like, Daddy has business to attend to.
Yeah, the music hits real.
It's like noir. And she's just like, Daddy has secret business. And the kids are like, shut up, Mom, you're so annoying. And I was like, no, this is hilarious. Because
Daddy's got business.
Why, how would he ever justify having an apartment in the city to
so
his
this
family?
Is directed by
oh, I know what he says, but
by Benny and Josh Safdie.
Yes. What else have they done?
They've done The Smashing Machine.
Okay, one we need to do is a crossover with What About Wrestling? Other podcasts featuring our only fan, Nick. Check it out.
Mostly, it seems like they've done writing.
So this was like a breakout movie for theirs.
Director.
I love how he fills the space, because he knows if there's nothing there, I can just truncate the silence while editing it.
Uh-huh.
But he has to fill it with sound, because
sure.
That's what the audience...
Can't edit.
So it doesn't seem like there's no pause at all,
right.
There's just sound there, yeah. And it's not even the clickety-clackety of searching. We don't know what he's doing right now.
It's
he's
the clickety-clackety of my fingers on the
he's
phone.
Got business in the city, sorry guys.
yeah... This was a breakout movie for them.
That makes sense. It feels like someone's first really, like, well-done movie. And, I don't know, it feels kind of like The Joker to me.
The Joker. Okay.
Well, it's very anxiety-driven.
Sure.
And it's very grim and, like, bleak and in New York. I know that was Gotham, but it was obviously
fucking
New York. And he's, like, a guy who's just being, like... beat down every day of his life.
Sure.
And a lot of it in that one, it was like mental health.
This one, it was all Sandler's fault.
This one, it was all Sandler's fault.
But he does that all to himself.
But yeah, did you not get that at all? I just felt like it was almost like The Joker in a way, like he just kept wanting something better and it just, life kept getting worse and worse. And it felt like a super villain origin almost.
I can kind of see that.
The Gambler.
I didn't think of that whenever watching it.
Okay. I guess I also felt that because the Joker was kind of a love letter to Scorsese in a lot of ways. Like, sure. King of Comedy. It's almost a direct sequel to that, the Robert De Niro movie.
I would say it's a spiritual, like, it's spiritually a sequel to that. Like, they reference it.
And De Niro's in it playing almost the same, like, role. And,
yeah.
Well, not the same role. He's a successful comedian. Have you seen King of Comedy with De Niro?
Can't say that I have.
It's about an aspiring comedian that's, like, it's almost the Joker. He's, like, sociopathic in his need to be a comedian. Like, in his bedroom, he has cardboard cutouts of a late-night show that he interacts with.
Oh.
And I think the Joker does that, too.
It's like, definitely proto the Joker.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's from the 70s. So if you like The Joker, which I did, I thought it was a really good breakout movie from a director that had made nothing good before. And, like, we looked up that director's movies, and it was so surprising what else he had made. This one, yeah, I got the same kind of vibes. Like, it's grim, it's anxiety-driven, he just can't catch a break, whether it's because of the external or internal forces. When he goes up to his apartment, he won't even let his kid use the bathroom in his apartment.
He won't. You gotta keep the family separate from the fuck pad.
He asks his neighbors.
This is a fuck pad, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
It has like a Tron lit wall. There's plants and cocaine mirrors everywhere. was cocaine. No, his girlfriend's a fucking cocaine dealer.
Sure.
They just cut the scenes where he was doing it. Could you date a hot-ass cocaine dealer and not do any cocaine? Would that be humanly possible if you were Sandler's character? This is a cocaine-cocaine movie. It's not even a cocaine-no-cocaine movie.
Sure.
It's there.
It's just in the background.
It's just there. Yeah. He's not doing all this stuff without that. I mean, like, he would still be driven, but he wouldn't have the 25 hours a day to do it.
You see that scene where he was pacing around watching that basketball game, and his bookie was like, he might have a problem.
Yeah.
Like, the look on their faces was like, this is getting sad.
Yeah, like, I don't know. I don't really care if he wins or loses. This is really sad, guys.
And he's just, like, having a manic episode watching this basketball game.
I wonder how he prepared for this. Like, to get into character.
You think he prepared?
You think this is just straight Sandler energy coming through in a different way?
He acts like this in every movie.
Right.
Just not for an extended period.
Usually everybody just likes him, so it's a totally different outcome.
The ball's on these two directors, though, to go up to Adam Sandler and be like, can you act serious the whole movie?
I think this was written for him, this part, though. Because it's him, like you said.
Yeah.
And what about this non-accent? It's the first time he's using his real voice, Josh.
Yeah, he has a weird accent.
I think he just has kind of a lisp.
Is he wearing dentures? For a while.
He might be wearing dentures, yeah.
Does it say anything about that in the trivia? Did anybody see? Because he has, like, it seems like he has maybe, what do you call them? What do rich people... Veneers.
Yeah. Definitely.
Do you think the facial hair was fake?
No. I think Sandler can do facial hair.
Okay.
The earrings might have been fake. Doesn't he look like a scuzbag in this, though?
That's the point.
I know. He's just got the little pencil mustache and beard and, like, the gold and...
No, there's nothing about veneers.
Okay. I almost thought that because he had an overbite, too.
Yeah.
And that was, like, changing his voice.
Could just be Adam Sandler.
That good of an actor. Josh.
Yeah.
What do you think of this movie? Would you watch it again?
No.
Would you recommend someone watch it the first time?
If someone came up to you on the street and said, give me an uncomfortable movie that never gets, like, gory or scary...
I need at least two scenes where people get trapped in the same door.
Yeah. A lucite cage of some sort. Yeah, I mean, we can't do Saw because the gory.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, there are probably other Sandler movies that are uncomfortable that don't have violence.
What are they? Because you've seen them all at this point.
All of them?
So, did this live up to your expectations?
No, I don't think it could at this point. It was pretty cool. I liked the premise. I liked the character. But, like, it's really long.
It is and, pretty like, long.
There's not a lot of build. Right, he does. I was expecting to go through more shit. I was expecting to, like, be a bloody sack of pulp by
me too. Before he That's died. A really good point.
Like, I thought the goons were gonna ask.
I thought they were gonna put him through the ringer,
but they're too nice. Yeah, like, we're just gonna put you in the back car, and we're just gonna like kind of talk to you on the street a lot.
You're right. This is an A24 film. I thought somebody a third of the way through was gonna take his pinky with like garden shears.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he'd be like limping around New York with like one shoe and a bandaged foot. Yeah. And like
he like starts. He was gonna start losing. People like he loses his wife,
exactly. His girlfriend. That's what I want from this movie. Like,
I think if it had gone that way, like the whole here, it's the logical conclusion.
And then if he lives, at the end, it's okay. He like loses an eye or something at the end of the movie. I think that could have worked, and it wouldn't.
And like the guy that killed him wasn't like of anyone important.
It, no,
it was like it was his like uncle's.
Goon.
Random goon.
That just lost
it. Who was just like, oh, I'm sick of watching Sandler for 7 years.
Yes. I don't care that he now has a 1.5 million. Fuck him.
I'm going to kill him, my boss.
Yeah.
He doesn't even have a line about it. He just does it.
Yeah.
That seems like a cop-out almost, like a 70s movie, the way they would end, and you'd be like, wait, what? Like, I know why it happened. Cause
his fault for letting him in. I don't know why he let them in the place and not out the door.
Because, well, I figured he has a million. Guy's family.
Yeah.
That smooths things over. We all just sat down and watched a basketball game together.
The uncle was like, what you do? Ooh.
His uncle was literally going like, that son of a bitch did it.
Yeah. And, oh, wow. I don't think Sandler had any notion that they were going to be violent after he won.
No.
Because also, he's riding that high. Right. So he's, like, delusional as hell. The girlfriend gets
Nothing
away.
Bad can happen. It can only good happen in that moment.
His girlfriend meets a mummy from Vegas named Wayne.
Yeah.
Did you know these
They were on the helicopter.
Did you know these helicopter Ubers existed?
I didn't know.
Okay, they're called Blades. They're way too expensive, and I imagine they're more dangerous than actual Ubers.
Apparently on every street corner.
You can get a Blade here in Albuquerque.
I don't think so.
No,
probably only in really big cities.
I mean, if you pay enough, maybe. That's the whole thing about these things. But I was pissed off because obviously this is an expensive thing. Renting a fucking helicopter to go from rooftop to rooftop. You have to share them with leathery old men.
There's always leathery old men.
Like, the richer you get, the more leathery old white men there are. You're right. It's so true. He's just like, I have so much money, I don't even like life anymore. And it's like, who the fuck is this? Like, third act character.
A lot of characters.
I thought it was Sandler for a second in makeup.
He's how this lady gets out with the money.
Because she runs into him again at, like, the Kino bar after she's placed the bet.
Well, he hits on her.
And he's like, hey, second time's the charm. You want to suck on me leathery old knob? And she's like, yeah, sure. What room are you in? And he's like, holy shit, that worked. Hasn't worked in 30 years. And she sees there's goons after her. So she does go up to the room, and he's like, what the fuck?
I need to take a shower. I need to wash me dirty ball holes.
Me dirty ball holes. They're so dirty. They still got helicopter stank on them. Yeah, he's like, holy shit, you're young and pretty. Sit down, do whatever you want. Take the iPad. I love how invested in this game you are. And you're right. She gets out with the money because he goes and picks it up.
She makes him pick it up.
And then he gives it to her. He's like, ooh, $1 million. I remember what I... He's like, that's
cute.
Cute.
Yeah. Sage, you still want to see me leathery knob? She's like, bye. Yeah, it treats it like $1 million. I mean, this is 2012. It's I don't want to say it's just $1 million. Yeah. It's not like...
It definitely solves all of his problems.
No, it doesn't.
Well...
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't solve his gambling addiction.
Because but when it solves... When he finally sells this opal for the second time, mind you, because he tricked his... It was like a Seinfeld plot for a half hour here, where he goes to the auction, and he's like, you gotta help me. I thought it was worth more. I'm going to be in the hole. I don't know, Jerry. I don't have that kind of money in the bank. I'll get it back to you away.
It doesn't matter. I'll just transfer it right back to you.
I want 40%, Jerry. I want 40%. 40%, that's a little high. I'd say 250,000's a little high. And he actually does it. Oh, my God. He screws his uncle. He
almost gets the guy to 200K.
Yeah, screws his uncle out of 190K plus 40% he owes him. I don't think he's wiring this money back. No, I mean, well, we know he's not now.
Yeah.
I don't think he was going to. He immediately puts it on another bet.
So does that mean his wife and kids get the million?
No.
No, the girlfriend took it.
The girlfriend took it.
Oh, it was not in his name.
She's the one who placed the bet.
This wasn't like a legally binding contract.
We don't see what she does with it. She just... Because he's dead, she doesn't know it.
She goes somewhere.
You think she even bothers to try looking for him?
Yeah.
She hears
about it. She was obsessed with him.
She reads in the newspaper the next day, because it's 2012.
Sandler, like, treats her like shit multiple times, and she always comes back.
Mm-hmm. I know.
It's a smoothie on her.
Oh my God, he throws a smoothie on her.
He does.
Oh, how terrible. He's a terrible person in this.
Constantly berating her and being like, oh, are you going to come to work today?
You work for me. And you're sleeping in till 10
a.m. Oh, yeah, she works for him, too. Uh-huh. Yeah.
That's how they met. 100%. Okay. That's how they met. Or maybe he hooked her up with a cushy job.
But Why does she have the side job?
Must be nice.
What side job?
Selling coke.
Cornering weekends and...
Oh, the money? Because she's selling coke to the weekend. That's why she has a side job. She can get into places, I guess. She knows people that know people. I don't know. when he sells the opal finally to the basketball player.
Yeah, KG.
We see the madness at full blast because he's like, I'll tell you what, I'll take this $165,000 and I'll bet it on you.
When the goons are in his shop.
Yeah. Yeah, he's like, I know they want my money. They're going to break my knees.
I can pay them right now and they won't break my knees.
But he gets his girlfriend to go out through to the other apartment and hands it to her through the window so she can get to the blade on time.
I appreciate this because this established to me that he does indeed have a gambling addiction.
Yeah.
This is what did it.
This is what did it. This is like, wow, he really does have a gambling addiction.
He has a problem. The first step is admitting Adam Sandler has a problem. you can see it on the basketball player's face, too.
Mm-hmm. He's like, he was just like, what the fuck?
He's like, I'm pretty crazy. Like, I'm superstitious. I'm a sports star. And I love that rock more than anything. I'm willing to pay you $170,000. But you have a problem.
And you told me how much you paid for it, too.
He shouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
He also shouldn't have pulled up the odds against him that night.
No.
That is something you probably don't do against or to a professional sports person and be like, Vegas is betting against you.
But I believe in you.
Yeah.
I'm going to bet this.
It all comes... Oh, he bets a triple bet. Uh-huh. One, they're going to win the pass-off, which is incredibly risky. Like,
it's 50-50.
That's why he was so excited whenever he won.
It's everything like, depends on that. Yeah.
Is he going to get so many field goals?
26 field goals or, sure, hockey pucks. And the third,
and they're
going to
win the game. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He but gets they have to win by a certain amount of points.
I don't think that there was a spread. I think he just had to score 26. And he did.
Because they were already winning whenever he was like, it's not enough.
No, it's a padding. He needed padding to make the bet safe, I think. He wins the bet, lets the goons in. He's like, let's celebrate, boys, hugs all around.
This triple bet reminded me, like, took me back to whenever we went to the horse track races, whenever I was growing up.
You're saying we, like, as a podcast, we never went to the horse track races.
Whenever I went to the horse track races, with my family, because...
As a kid.
My grandmother and grandfather raised racehorses.
Okay.
And, we went and they would make bets for us.
Oh, okay.
One of the bets was I think it was called a trifecta.
Sure.
And you had to bet not only what horse was going to win, but first, second, and third in the right order.
Okay.
And then if you
went big.
You went big if you get that.
Sure.
That's what this reminded me.
I thought you were going to say your grandma and grandpa used to stand on either side of you, like, up higher than everyone else and look like, be like, look at the peasants, Justin. We own the horses. We win every race. They bet on them. The fools.
We did have a box.
Bring us the finest meat from the one that comes in last place. Grilled. And the jockey. It's just full Hunger Games. Oh, wow. All right. Justin, this is your second time seeing this. What was your first? Did you see this in theaters?
Yeah. I did actually see this in theaters. It just looked it kind of interesting.
You were off the Sandler train,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I hadn't seen... I had been off the Sandler train, like, where I was, like, a dedicated fan.
The only one we had seen together was Hotel Transylvania 1. Mm-hmm. And that's the only Sandler movie I'd seen with you in a long time. Other than That's My Boy, like, a few years before that, even. Which I remembered liking, but then upon revisiting, no. Mm-hmm. Nope. Mm-hmm. Would you watch this again? Would you recommend it to someone on the street?
Would I watch this again? Probably not. It is anxiety-inducing, and like I said, it kind of made me feel tired after watching it.
Really early on, it's anxiety-inducing.
But I did think that
like,
it
you
was
know a, what it's going to do.
I do think that it is a good movie, though, and I would recommend people watch it.
Okay, when you say anxiety... I think that's a little
bit... It's high tension.
It's stress, too.
There's lots of stress. Because... It's, like, made to feel that way.
Now, it's a totally different movie, but in a way, I could compare it to Friendship.
Kind of.
The Tim Robbins...
I liked Friendship a lot
Paul
more.
Rudd one.
Yeah.
Because that one's more lighthearted, in a way. But they're both... They're not thrillers, they're tension movies.
Sure.
They would both be in that category. I can probably think of a couple others, but they would be older because movies don't really do this anymore where there's like Josh said, there's really low stakes for a lot of it. Like we're with him. We're on tense phone calls.
This is 2019, by the way.
We're like, we'll get you the money. But there's never anything until they hang him out the window where there's like,
yeah,
we're going to kill you. The violent thug who does end up killing him, he's the only one that hits him,
mm-hmm.
ever, out of all these thugs. Mm-hmm. He elbows him in the neck, which we were like, oh my god, is that his go-to move?
Like, it looks like it.
That's brutal.
He did it really quick, and then he punched him in the face whenever he came back at
and
him.
Threw him in the drink, the fountain. bad move in the winter in New York to be thrown in a fountain.
Yeah.
And then walk home in the cold, wet. Ooh. I don't know if you can get on the subway.
Without your glasses?
Oh, yeah, he lost his glasses, too. He went to the office and just started crying. The time he went to the office to sleep was so sad.
Yeah.
He opens up his safe and there's a pillow in there. And it's like you have a house and a family and a girlfriend and an apartment.
What are you doing?
And you're sleeping at the jewelry store. I think I would lightly recommend this. I didn't get... It wasn't as off-putting for me as it was for you guys. Like, it was anxiety-inducing, but it was filmed really well, and I knew what I was getting into as soon as it started from the, like, tone of it.
No, and that's what I'm saying, like, that's why I would recommend it, is because I knew it whenever it started that it was going to be like this. I was like, oh, okay.
Does it give you hope for the future of Sandler?
Of Sandler. No, because I know what the next two movies are.
No, not immediate hope. I'm talking about for when he becomes like an old man actor.
I hope that he becomes a serious actor, at least for a bit.
Like a stretch?
Give us more of these kind of movies.
I agree.
Not necessarily stress-inducing tension. Like
but serious characters?
Roles. Yes.
Because sure. I think he can handle it really well.
Sure.
Yeah.
I think he's going to go on a director phase.
Ooh, is that before or after his serious phase?
He's going to be like a Clint Eastwood.
I was just about to say that. He's going to be... Or Ron Howard.
I want him to get really old.
Very similar to Ron
get,
Howard, if you think about it.
I want to see his Robin Williams phase where he's an old man. And he does comedy roles again, but he does like old man comedy roles.
Like Dirty Grandpas?
No, not Dirty Grandpas. Like wholesome Dad Sandler.
We've gone through the Dad Sandler, though. From
not,
like bedtime stories to
Click. You can go back, yeah.
We've already had Sappy Dad. We're going to have Sappy Grandpa or dirty grandpa.
Serious grandpa.
Or serious grandpa.
We're going to have both.
We're going to have all of them.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, every Sandler you can think of. Horny grandpa.
The Sandlerverse.
The Sandlerverse
continues. We still haven't gotten the Polar Express yet.
We still have an untouched Sandler genre coming up on your list. Horror.
Oh, yeah.
Spaceman?
Spaceman. A sci-fi horror. So it's another, we get to see him
is
in another serious role.
Is Sandler the villain or not?
He's the main character, who's a spaceman.
I've only seen
the poster.
Okay.
I don't know what it's about.
I don't know what it's about. People said...
Because he was kind of Jigsaw-y in this one.
He was. People said it's actually scary, from what I've heard.
Okay.
So I'm kind of looking forward to it.
Cool.
This kind of is it, though, for the Sandlerverse. Yeah. For mainline theater movies.
Space, Happy Gilmore.
Well, no, I'm talking about theater. Oh, yeah. If we were going according to our original rules,
2019, huh?
This would be the final theater Sandler movie.
This is before Netflix owned him.
Well, also, Netflix owns everything now. They just did that big deal. There's nothing happening in theaters. So... Good move, Sandler. You get to go on vacation with Jennifer Aniston in Hawaii and Africa every 2 years. If you want to check out our other podcasts, you can find us at podcast.com. Fap Check. You can find us on Have You Seen Podcast on Instagram, where we link all of our past episodes completely for free for this Amazeballs. We just got done with a really fun Amazeballs run where we did sitcoms throughout the years.
That was a blast.
We've even, guys, behind the scenes...
We watched more Cheers.
We watched more Cheers.
Willingly.
Just for the fun of it. Yeah. It was that good, and we enjoyed it. It may continue. Like, we always have to watch something before we get started if we're eating dinner. Like, there's something going on, and we're all getting settled. So, we found it. I mean, it used to be internet videos to make Josh rage so he was better on the podcast. But I think you're good on your own now. You don't need this rage bait. Sure. The podcast is your rage bait.
I appreciate it. I am running low. Please, though, I checked my list.
Oh, I know you are.
I checked my list.
Because of this list.
About two lists left before I need to start watching.
Like, just getting hammering movies every day.
I'm not sure what's going to happen, because if I don't start backlogging.
I know.
He's now, I'm going to be, like, watching movies and day like, come up the next week.
And we're going to be picking you up for your, like, you're going to be watching it on your phone, like, as we're driving to do the movie.
You better find a niche and get into it real quick.
Yeah, the dread is real. Like, when we started this podcast, I knew eventually we'd get to this point.
You knew there'd be
like,
padding.
Yeah. Maybe I'll find
gone.
A...
gone.
Yeah.
You're,
isn't it funny
maybe
how
I can find another bottom of a barrel.
That lined up about the same time we finished Sandler. That's really interesting.
No, it's not. Can we do more theme months?
It gives you something to grab onto in the void.
I think I can make it to April with the
Hobbit. You ever go to video rental stores when you were a kid?
We had a Blockbuster, but I don't... Our family went to it much.
Wow.
I had video games.
That was... Okay, that was just such a part of growing up is like... And even in my like early 20s was going to the video store and trying to pick a video out.
No, I can't.
And just like looking and reading the back and like hundreds of videos and you knew you had to go home with one.
I even did that as a job for a little while.
Yeah.
Movie night was not a thing in my household.
Oh, it was an experience that was kind of... sometimes the people I went with would be like, could we hurry up? I loved it. I relished it. I can see how it would be anxiety-inducing like this movie.
Did you go to the last Blockbuster when you were up in Oregon?
When I was in Oregon, they had a video rental store, but it wasn't Blockbuster. It was like a mom-and-pop one, and I did go. I didn't get a membership because I was only there for a while, but I did walk around and get some of that nostalgia. Mm-hmm. Took some really good pictures. I think they turned the last actual Blockbuster into an Airbnb.
Yeah,
and there's like
the
bed in the middle of it and a big TV, and you could just pick whatever you want off the walls and watch it.
That's cool.
You'd have to just watch something iconic, right? Mm. Like something you know is good. You can't like leave that up to chance and put, I don't know, Uncut Gems on and like cross your fingers. You're like, I rented the last Blockbuster Airbnb and we're going to watch... We're watching Predator or something, like The Warriors, Princess Bride, When Harry Met Sally, some of the big ones on our podcast. R.I.P. Rob Reiner for some of the big ones. Until next time, I'm Austin.
I'm Josh.
I'm Justin. hey guys, have you seen